Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. We've got a $10 million lotto winner on the podcast for you today. We'll discuss pizza at length, which is something I always like to do, almost as much as actually eating it. Dog poo complaint from Nadine Higgins, and Kerry gets hosed off. But before any of that, the Charlie Gard situation, here's Natalie on that.
When a child is in a high dependency unit, they have access to so many different levels of care. But once that person is then taken home, you have to ask the question, will they be able to maintain the level of care that person is able to get and in hospital?
I can answer that. There is no respite. I know.
From that.
I can answer that question. They cannot replicate the level of care that you get in a hospital at home.
No, that's correct. And I have two children with low-level disabilities, and all I can say is it's very difficult to maintain and give people with disabilities a fair chance. And there's, you know, the respite and the access to support is quite difficult. So
yes, I get this, but in the case in the case of the Auckland child whose parents are fighting to actually take her home, she's 5 years old. She needs machines to breathe. She needs a ventilator, and it appears that Starship is not keen to let them take that home. They say that caring in that way will cost the state $300,000 a year at home. It costs $1.6 million at Starship. That's because you have full monitoring, full resus, full checks, blood tests every day. They're constantly checking everything. They're constantly antibioticing if you've got fluid buildup, etc. You know, they are constantly... It is... Remember, hospital care is acute care, not chronic care.
Yeah.
Not chronic care. And I think what the parents are saying, wanting to take their child home and look after them at home, is saying, okay, we understand it's no longer acute care. We understand we can't fix this child. We understand this is a chronic condition which will continue for their life. We can deal with that at home. But if that means that child may, you know, health may subside and may eventually have mortality, that's called life.
Now, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, you might think it's a very heavy-duty, heavy-going, serious podcast. It isn't usually, but that wasn't a bad little speech from Andrew, so I flicked that in there. Let's move on to lighter things now. This guy won lotto.
Well, first of all, I want to talk to you about the dream house that you were going to buy your wife. What was her reaction?
No, she felt that that she wasn't being heard. And I was making all the decisions, and I hadn't sought her input. She wasn't very happy with that. But the thing is all she wanted really was probably just a few things added on to make our lives a bit more comfortable. But she wanted to retain the essence of our home of 30 years.
You've also gifted a lot of money to the hospice, also the Health Foundation Trust. Why in particular did you gift to those two charities?
Actually, I've gifted to three charities, $100,000 to each. And the third charity, of course, which you didn't miss, is the Diabetes Foundation.
Wonderful.
So, yes, it's $300,000 in total to those three charities. I chose those charities in particular because they were charities that did a lot of work in the area where a lot of my Māori people end up becoming, you know, statistics and clients for. So that's really why I chose those three charities. Of course, I apologise to many other charities that are just as worthy, but those were the three that I chose.
Yeah, what a jerk not donating to every single charity in the world. Now, pizza. I just wish that he'd donated some pizza to me. I wish anybody would donate pizza to me. I love it when they do. It happens sometimes. But apparently it's no good here.
So I'm just wondering if anyone or yourself could tell me, where can you buy an honest, original pizza in New Zealand. Where do you go to get a good pizza?
What city are you in?
Well, I've been to every city in New Zealand, and I have tried pizzas in every little town in New Zealand, and the pizzas I find here are more like quiche pie or cheese on cardboard.
Okay.
I've lived in New York. I've tried New York pizza, Italian pizza in Italy, and also in Australia. But here in New Zealand, there's nowhere you can buy good, decent pizza, unless there is someone may know.
John, I'll ask the question again.
Yep.
Whereabouts do you live?
In Wellington.
Okay. Because there was a guy in Huapai, right? He'd got a certificate from some special pizza-making place in Naples. Well, and he had a wood oven.
I've tried wood oven. I've tried sourdough pizza. I'm sick of spending money on experimenting, going into pizza places and thinking, oh, this might be all right, you know. I mean, I bought one the other night, and it was just covered in cheese.
That sounds amazing. I want everything to be covered in cheese. He's really grumpy about the state of pizza. Has he been to Sal's? Sal's tastes like New York pizza to me. I think that's why they call it Sal's New York Pizza. He sounds like a hard guy to please, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not sure what Nadine Higgins' pizza standards are, but she's certainly got high standards about what dogs can do on her section.
My German Shepherd is totally spoilt. He wore a suit to my wedding. He owns a Swan Dry. He goes out on adventure walks with packs of other dogs when we're working too hard to take him out ourselves. We flew him to the South Island over Christmas or for the family holiday. Although, in my defence, that was actually cheaper than putting him in a kennel. But my point is, I'm obviously not alone. People care very deeply about the family pooch. It's now a massive, massive industry. And I get it. What I don't get is that the very same people who care so deeply about their pets' well-being seem to care very little about picking up after them, as in picking up their poo. It's not a nice job, but it's part of being a dog owner. So a guy walking past my house with his dog recently, and we live in a cul-de-sac, so it's all, you know, quite intimate. He stopped to let the dog do his business on the lawn, and then he just walked off. And he had a poo bag on his dog lead, and I'm not sure why he was carrying it, if not to pick up the dog poo. He actually got a mouthful from my husband and did end up picking up the dog poo, and was kind of surprised that it didn't end up in the letterbox. But anyway, he hopefully learnt his lesson. I just can't understand why people pretend not to notice, or they decide if it's not on the path, it's not worth picking up, or they decide if it's just a small dog's poo, it's not worth picking up. But I can tell you that after your dog has stepped in it and trampled it through your house, you might decide that it is worth picking up. Picking up after your pooch is part of the deal. I know this intimately, and I'm sorry if you're eating your breakfast right now, but my dog seems to have a bit of an irritable bowel, and so I sometimes do it on a walk like 5 times. Not all of it is solid, but I will always make a solid effort to pick it up. And I just think, you wouldn't let your child run around without a nappy and defecate on the floor and not do something about it. And nor should you let your dog. When your dog's got to go, it's got to go, and I've got no problem with that. It's the lazy owners I have a problem with. So I reckon if it's your dog, it is your problem. And just for goodness sake, how hard is it? Be a tidy Kiwi. Pick it up and put it in the bin.
I do wonder who's most important in Nadine's life, whether it's her dog or her husband. I feel like it might be the dog. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I just thought it was interesting. She's standing in for Rachel Smalley at the moment. Meanwhile, Kerry McIver, is this a slip of the tongue? Did she really mean to say this yesterday?
I don't mind being hosed from time to time.
Stop it!
The Paris Marathon, when the Pompeliers come out, yes, and they hose you down as you run past. I think it's...
I admit,
what do you mean, drunk?
No.
As in hose that?
No.
Hose.
No, I mean, they have their hoses out and they...
She can't. Oh, Kira, your mouth just gets you into trouble. But no, I totally understand you.
You remember the, do you remember the firemen at the Paris Marathon with their hoses?
I would forget a whole lot of French people with their hoses out, hosing you down.
I wouldn't forget that. But guess what happened? I was running so far behind.
They tucked their hoses home.
So I didn't see them.
That's very unsporting. That's Was there any food left?
No food. And they've even got champagne.
Yep.
But and Beaujolais. I was too late for that too.
And probably there wasn't much left by the time Auntie Kerry had ravaged through them.
Yeah, I've never really wanted to go to France. It's mostly over the fear that the men there will get their hoses out when I don't want them to. I'm Glenn ZB. See, I told you we'd get progressively sillier. That has been News Talk ZB for Wednesday. I will see you back tomorrow with more silliness.